as a committee, we'll have to really talk that through at our first meeting. So anyway, long story short, and I will get with Andrea and figure out when we can get the essays redacted and sent out to everyone. And then I will follow up with an email about some meeting dates, and we'll kind of get some stuff marked out on the calendar.
Do all of your committee members read all 190?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, some of them are short, some of them aren't, but it is what it is.
Based on the rubric, and generally, I'm not, yes.
All right.
In general, you'll have enough classes.
So Susie, do you want to go through the new policies?
Again, the attendance policy, I really didn't expect it to be sent out to all of you right away, but it has some questions in it. I don't know if you saw under school hours, the after-school care. Do we have after-school care? Is it still $5 per after-school care?
I don't think we're going to continue with after-school care. Is that correct?
I think that's what we kind of talked about, but we never made a commitment of one way or the other.
I think it's a nice, if we continue to offer it, I don't think we should charge for it, because we have so many activities going on throughout the school that there are kids just hanging. You know, you have kids who adhere to that policy. Their parents are paying $20 a week, but then you have other kids who aren't adhering to it, and there's so many activities going on. It's just not
hard to police.
Yeah.
Right.
So if we offer it, if we continue to offer it, I personally don't think we should charge. I think we should just offer it as a homework room.
Do you think we should offer it?
I think there are times when it's beneficial. Like there are times when sports teams, there's nobody available to watch the basketball team until their practice starts at 5 o'clock, or there's no place to send, you know. I do think there are times that
another great example is if we have a game that doesn't start until 3:45, 4 o'clock, that students want to stay after and say we can provide a place for them to go and work on homework, so that they're supervised, and then when the game starts, we can let them go out to the fields.
Who works there?
This year, it's Kim Rashdorf.
And she's a teacher?
She's a part-time middle school teacher, art teacher.
And we pay her to do that? So we would be paying her, but we're not getting any money.
Yeah, we don't make money off it now anyway.
We lose money on it either way.
Well, I mean, it's...
Yeah, okay.
And what time is it? Is it from 3 to 5?
Yes, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5.
So I guess my main question for the attendance policy is the administrators, does this cover what you think it needs to cover? I started with what we had in the student handbook. I also don't really want to tie us down more than we have to.
Yeah, there's some things that I was looking at that maybe I would suggest some changes to.
Okay.
Just for that whole tying down purpose.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to get with me after the meeting and we can revise it?
Yeah.
So we'll table it until the next meeting. Did anybody else have comments? Or
Andrea and Ann had looked at it.
Yeah,
as well,
Andrea and Ann wrote some comments I can give to you.
Perfect.
And you have the discussion there on those.
Perfect. All right. Any board members? No. The second policy is the professional development policy. But the more I think about this, I'm not sure it needs to be an official policy. It came out of a concern that, as we talked about earlier in the meeting, a lot of resources were being put towards IB and toward becoming an MYP school, and what's come out in some of the strategic planning or town hall meetings is that the teachers, if you're an IB teacher, you've gotten training, and if you're not an IB teacher, you're, like, it seems like you're almost starved for professional development. So, you know, if we want self-motivated learners in the school, it seems that we need to encourage our staff to be self-motivated learners too, and we can't neglect their professional development. So the thought is that we would budget money for it every year, and then how do we dole it out? But my gut tells me, I mean, this was a stab at some sort of a way to decide who got professional development within the school and who went outside the school for seminars. But it seems to me two things. One, maybe the teachers are the ones that need to look at this and decide what's going to work.
That's right. The HR director. That was mine.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The other thing is, if the board budgets money for it, then maybe it's for the administration to determine who gets the training, and this could be a guideline, some sort of a working guideline that would would work for them.
There are some good, there are some good pieces in here, especially around like tuition reimbursement.
Yeah.
That, they're the pieces.
Maybe having that outlined.
It's more a benefit, it's not a policy, it's a benefit that's being offered.
Yeah, and that just could be like a blurb somewhere, it doesn't have to be as long in a blurb, you can add in extra things like, for tuition reimbursement, the main process is the protocol, how would that work?
Correct.
I would recommend maybe saying a grade of B or more.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Not just a blanket, you're gonna get it if you present your report card, but it has to be a report card with a certain grade on it, but just maybe more so the protocol, so people know, so it's written down. How do you go about seeking the reimbursement, but maybe not necessarily outlining that.
Professional development and staff development, like they're two different things, and the terms throughout are used interchangeably, which I don't think we want either. It's, it is, to your point, it is, it's more than just a policy, it's a culture, it is a bigger project.
But we need to, if we're going to attach dollars to it.
That's for the benefit piece, so that like.
So a couple things that I would say is like, I guess maybe the board and the board budget, they would allocate for tuition reimbursement, like, you know, they use it, like if we can only put $10,000, that until, you know, until it's gone, there's no more for that year. But I would think for a professional development piece or policy of how teachers do it, I think that that's the work that that commitment to professional excellence group is doing, and we have staff on that. And, you know, I think that that's something that.
You will?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask you.
Denise just said she would share it.
I was gonna ask you if that, if this had to do with that, and if it does, I will help to chair it.
Good, there's already meetings scheduled, so.
Good, that's okay, great.
And then I think if we develop a way that we say, okay, because I really wanna make a push for teachers to take control of their own professional development and be more individualized based on what their goals are and what their needs are. There obviously will always be staff professional development, those administrators that we identify that maybe our whole staff needs, but there's times when teachers might wanna go, I have math teachers that might wanna go to the NCTM conference, or you have teachers that wanna go to the National Science Conference, or teachers that wanna go to IB training, or some teachers might wanna go for AP training. You know, so there's so many different types. I think that it's a budget item, and then we have them determine how we determine who gets professional development, and then we, based on what we think the needs are of the school, can decide who goes and have a process for that. And I think that that can be something that is mapped out in that strategic, that was my vision for that committee.
Yeah, okay, good.
Is this anticipated to be professional development would be reimbursed for the entire cost of it?
So professional development would be something that is directly related to something that they're gonna implement into their classroom. The tuition reimbursement would be something that would be completely different, which would be if a teacher is going to further their education or something like that and go to an official program and be reimbursed for a portion of that tuition.
But they determine, you're not.
They determine that, yes, but the
should
other.
Should that thing, be a 50-50 sharing with them so they have some skin in the game?
I think for
maybe they're the mother-in-law in the same city that the conference is. I'm just.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I think
it seems to me that anytime you are giving extras away, some people will take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's
unless
what I think
they're
we have to come up with some guidelines.
Right, exactly.
The guidelines in it. We don't. I would think they would have to. There's definitely some things like in my former school, you have to explain how is this applicable to what you're doing currently in the classroom. How are you going to implement it when you come back? And then also when you go, you turn in some kind of, this is what I did when I went. And if it's, a lot of times we'll send stuff where it's train the trainer. So we'll send people there and then they'll come back and then they can train others in-house.
The 100.
So, but I have a big problem with us making them. I mean, a lot of times that's why teachers don't continue their professional development because they just can't afford it. But if they're saying this is something that I want to do and there's a commitment to doing it and you need it to be better for students, I think we need to support it. But there should also, like you said, be some kind of something safeguard in place so that it's not abused. I mean, we're not going to send Debbie to 8 trainings and not send Sarah to any if they both put in, you know, that they each wanted to go to one. So there would be some kind of, you know, fair, equal way to do it, also based on need.
Right. It talks about determining in the team first. Like the first step would be the team determines by like what is most needed for the team.
And then what's proposed is 100% of the first 3 credits in a year and then 50% after that in that same year. I like that kind of.
That's like a max of up to 6 credits? I think that's.
Yeah.
And then a grade B, and if we add a grade B or more.
Right.
Sometimes if there's CEUs instead of credits.
There is an equivalency, yeah.
I just want to make sure.
She's going to take this over. I have already handed that.
So it sounds like two things, right?
Yeah.
There's a tuition reimbursement policy.
Which is totally separate.
Right, which is totally separate.
That's personal, they don't need permission to do that.
Correct.
If you set aside so much money, everybody is entitled, if they go to take classes, you know, whoever submits their money, they get reimbursed to whatever Susie said, up to one course and half of the other.
Right.
So that's first come, first served. Everybody's not going to be enrolled in a program or doing that. There might be years we don't use it at all.
Right.
You know, so that's when they're in professional development. Anytime a teacher wants to go to a conference or do anything, they have to come and get that approved by an administrator. They have to talk about the rationale, why they're doing it. So there is a process in place now, but they would like more opportunities. So committing to it would just say, we have this money, you are entitled to go. Not everybody's going to always go.
Yeah, there's a process, but there's no money attached to it.
The first part, though, sounds like it needs a policy, which is tuition reimbursement, right?
A tuition reimbursement
needs a policy and a budget, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's this part B needs a budget and not necessarily a policy.
It needs a process,
but
not necessarily a policy, but it needs money.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the policy, you know, doesn't ever have to, I mean, however, you don't have to, for the tuition reimbursement, include how much the money is, because that could differ from year to year based on, you know, what funds are available. But the process can stay the same, but you don't want to put a number attached to it every year because, you know, some years you might be able to give more.
Right.
So if we want to pull the tuition reimbursement out and make it a policy, you would say, to the extent funds are available,
yes,
will be potential?
Yeah.
The question I would have is there a pre-qualification and is there a post-qualification for reimbursement? And are we similar to other... To our benchmark, right?
So for the tuition,
and I think we are, based on what I understand.
Tuition reimbursement, there's guidelines the state of Delaware puts that credit courses or approved courses that you can take or things you can take to count towards plus credit, so we could put it in line with that. It's either it has to be in line with a degree program in education, or it has to be in a certain cluster that's identified on the state website.
Yeah. Okay. So that'd be the pre-qualification, post-qualification.
B or above.
B or above.
Yeah, it's a B or whatever the requirement is for your program. So different programs have different requirements. Mm-hmm. So, but it would be in line with whatever your program. You have to get at least this, you have to get at least that. Because if you need to get at least a B and you get a B minus, you're not
correct.
Getting credit for that. You have to retake that
correct.
Course, so we shouldn't pay for it.
So
are
you
going to
do both, the tuition and...
Sure.
Like but we're not going to provide tuition reimbursement for somebody who wants to go get an MBA because that's not related to the education.
Right.
For,
right.
You know,
right.
That's part of the pre
right.
requirements.
Yeah.
Right?
We're not paying for you to leave the profession.
Yeah.
We're paying for you to develop in the profession.
You know, the other, I was talking to a gentleman who really understood how to utilize the professional development funds. He had worked for a school in Northern Delaware, and he said that if you work it right under certain policies where you get reimbursed, you're out of pocket a little bit, but there's also a salary scale that you're targeting too with additional education. So, you know, the reimbursement in conjunction with the salary scale made it completely make sense if you were managing it properly and managing it, you know, with kind of a fiduciary approach to, you know, funding your own future.
And that's over time. I mean, that's not going to help them.
It's not perfect, but...
No, it's not going to help them earn that degree from the get-go.
I mean, we're talking about, for example, if you're going to get a degree, and if you're in a program, you're maybe taking 18 credits a year.
Correct.
And if you're being reimbursed for 4.5.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
In hindsight. And then if you're not going to a state institution, if you're doing something on an out-of-state institution where the tuition might be higher... You know, you're only getting reimbursed the University of Delaware rate.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can play it low on the credits and take a longer time and maximize the reimbursement.
It's like the 10, 12-year
Well, not necessarily that long, but you can.
Yeah, it is.
You're just
progressing.
All right, so then we're going to revisit these two policies next month. Okay, I'll send them out again for everyone's review, to before the meeting, so when we come to the next meeting, we'll be able to vote on them.
I think that Denise and her committee is going to do,
Maybe March, because I don't know if they'll have this all flushed out in February.
Tuition, the tuition one's easy, it's the other one.
All right, you wanna say March?
Yeah, that's.
Okay.
Or we can include that in the strategic plan.
Yeah, it's not a policy.
If it's not a policy.
The other is the tuition, like Shanta, the tuition is the policy.
Yeah.
And it, I think it comes out of HR, because it's a benefit.
Yeah.
But the other isn't a policy, it's more a practice or.
And then the attendance policy, Susie, you're gonna get comments from, you know, people.
Alan has some.
Yeah, okay, all right, and then we'll revisit that next month or March?
It's not income, is it? It's reimbursable.
It is.
No, it's taxable income.
It is, at a certain point. Is it $5,000, is it cut off?
Yeah, $5,000.
I think it's $5,000.
Okay.
Okay. The last item under new business is, I would like to create or convene an ad hoc board policy committee. I think that we have had, over the years, several different, many conversations about board policies, and that we need to take a look at them and consider making some changes to our board policies. The one that concerns me the most is the terms of office. The way our policy is written now, we have lots of people leaving at the same time, and it is really tough for continuity to have, you know, people leaving at the same time.
Right.
If you really think about a 3-year term, you come in and you get your bearings year one, then you decide you want to be vice president year two, then year three you're president,
right.
Then your term is up. Yes, you can go for that fourth year if you want, but I think we should really take a look at staggering some terms, at, you know, just taking a look at some policies. I think our policies are dated, and so I would like to do that. So I guess I'm looking for anyone interested in working on this?
Reviewing policies?
Yeah.
Heather,
did you just raise your hand?
I can't do it so I can learn more.
Okay.
All right, Heather.
All right.
I'll come. I mean, it's been on my list of things to do for a while, but, you know.
I will
only so much
serve as well. So Heather, Susie, Jen, anyone else?
Shanta.
Joe.
I don't know if I'm allowed to.
You just can't vote.
Of course you are. In fact, on our committee, on our ad hoc committee, you can vote.
Oh, bonus.
Shanta said yes too.
Shanta, excellent. Great. So I will send out some proposed meeting dates. I'd like to get a meeting like soon. We kind of need to get moving on this before we are going to be soliciting for new board members for next year. We need to be able to talk to them about
it. It seems that the fact that everybody's leaving all at once isn't really the policy problem. It's that they were all brought in at once, so they all leave at once.
Well, I guess, except that if maybe the term was longer than 3 years, maybe if it was a 4-year term, you would serve your 4-year term and then you would go.
But most people stay for 6.
I know, but I'm saying that maybe they wouldn't, and I'm not saying I don't want people to stay, but I'm just thinking about.
What are the other boards? Aren't they longer? Aren't they like 5-year terms or something?
Some are, some are shorter, some are 1-year terms. I think it's just, we have to kind of take a look at what other, you know, school boards are doing, other schools are doing, maybe some of the other charters, take a look at it.
But I think you're right, if our policy, our board policies are back to the old.
They are.
SAS instead of SAS's Academy, then we need to look at them.
Yep. So I would like to have a meeting sometime in the next like week to 10 days. We can do a conference call, it would be fine. So anyways, I'll reach out to everyone. Okay, that's all under new business. Is there anything else under new business? Do we have executive session? Okay.
It's in July. It's already.
Oh,
we can do this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we need to, not for me.
Okay.
I think we should look into this, what's happened in January.
Okay, so we are going to have just a few brief things to discuss under executive session. Susie, what am I supposed to say? Susie? What am I going to say? Pursuant to...
Is it personnel?
Yes. Could you read me in?
Actually, before we go in, I just had one thing that came up. Last board meeting was when, November? We, as part of the financials, we handed out like how much local money came from each school district. And it was sort of horrifying to some of us to see that the dollar difference from like Delmar was $485 and...
I know, per student.
Cape was like $1,200 or something. I just wanted to let you know, I looked into that and there is something called equalization funding that comes from the state of Delaware to equal that out. And I originally thought we didn't get it, but we do. Doesn't make it completely equal, but I think it brings us along, no?
It doesn't make it completely equal because...
It doesn't make it completely, but it help, it's...
Yeah.
Lowers, it closes the gap.
Yeah.
We get some equalization money.
From the state.
Right.
Right. So, I make a motion...
At 5:50.
To go into executive session pursuant to 12 Delaware Code, 10,004, Section B9, to discuss personnel matters.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Wow.
Yeah, how about it?
Marty. All right.
Vote?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there any discussion? All in favor of going into executive session?
We're back on. We're back on.
Yes.
No. We are back in after executive session at 6:05.
I make a motion to adjourn the board meeting for January?
January 16th.
At 6:05.
Second.
Who seconded?
Uday.
Uday?
Uday.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We are adjourned.